It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox. Welcome to this very special happy hour edition of Kennedy Saves the World. We have finally done it. We have secured the world's foremost Obamacare and cocktail expert, Peter Suderman. You know him as Suderman Computerman. Cocktails of Suderman is his Substack newsletter. Subscribe to it immediately and just in time for Thanksgiving. I'm very thankful you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. Cheers, Kennedy.
And cheers to you. So you have told me for many years now, you've graciously invited me to your home or to the Reason offices in D.C. I haven't been able to make it there yet, but I have said
sometime soon, I hope.
I hope so, too. But the next best thing is you in person in New York, where we can talk about holiday cocktailing, specifically Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so Thanksgiving is a great time for cocktails for a bunch of reasons. Number one, you're with your family, so you need to drink.
Yes, if you've met my family.
But also, you're with your family. And what is a wonderful way to pass time with people is to make something with and for them.
This is
the thing that I like so much about cocktails, is that they are an opportunity to learn something about other people and then to make something wonderful that they will enjoy, that they will appreciate, that will make their day a little bit better and might make dinner time conversation a little bit more tolerable.
So I know that you are a fan of gin.
Yes.
Which I really appreciate. And I have been investigating gins of the world and over the last year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
I discovered pink tonic when I was in South Africa and ordered a bunch of it on Amazon, which 24 bottles of pink tonic cost $87.
Oh, man. Big splurge.
I know. But it's worth it. The pink tonic, I had it on safari in South Africa. So I always think of you when I drink gin, because I know you say you can replace vodka with gin in pretty much every cocktail. And I did encourage my friend to get a dirty gin martini at Del Frisco's last week, and she loved it. But I'm guessing this brown bottle, of course, it's a mocktail, Peter, because we wouldn't consume alcohol on this podcast. But let's talk about what we would consume if we were consuming alcohol.
So if we were consuming alcohol, if, for example, we were taping this at my house, if you were just over for an evening, I like to make people a whole bunch of different categories of drinks. And this time of year, instead of gin, what I really like is brandy.
Oh, yes.
And I like good American brandy and good French brandy. And both work around the holidays. One thing that I think people underrate if they're not into cocktails already is apple brandy, and in particular American apple brandy.
Like what? What's a good brand?
So Laird's is actually the oldest continuing operating distillery in the United States.
Wow.
It's been open since the 1700s, and they make what's called a straight apple brandy.
Where is Laird's?
So Laird's is in New Jersey. And in fact, for a long time, apple brandy and applejack, which is a very similar sort of spirit, was highly associated with New Jersey, to the point where Laird's now makes a bottle that is unaged, which means it's clear and going to taste sort of bright and fruity and a little bit ripe. They make that bottle. It's called Jersey Lightning, which is kind of the slang for what apple brandy used to be, because the aging process wasn't as consistent several hundred years ago, back before industrial production. But this was a spirit that our founding fathers drank.
Okay.
And it's delicious. And people are like, apples, I don't know, sounds fruity, sounds sweet. So it's not sweet. And this is the thing that I really want to emphasize. It's like apple bourbon. Mm. And so
that
in the
actually
way that,
sounds, I love anything apple. I love anything fall. I love hard cider with a shot of bourbon in it.
And so any drink that you like that has bourbon or rye whiskey, if you are a Manhattan or an old fashioned, just take good straight apple brandy and swap it in. It won't be sweeter. It will just taste more fully of apples, because this isn't a spirit that has, this isn't bourbon that has been flavored with apples in the way that, so it's not picking up the sugars from apples that way. Instead, it is distilled directly from apples. Think of how bourbon works, right? It is distilled from corn. You start with corn.
You take the grain.
Yep.
And you put it in the still.
Yeah, you put the take the grain and put it. Well, there's a couple of other steps, but that's basically you turn it into a beer, and then you heat
it, distill
it, and it turns into steam, and then it goes up into this little tube, and then it comes out the little tube as a little bit of liquid, right? It has been distilled, and when we talk about the distilled essence of something, that's literally
what spirits are. Fermentation tank first. Yes. I just learned that at Great Jones Distillery.
Oh man, going to distilleries is so much fun.
That
if
was
you
really
go
fun.
To some of them,
I've
you can
never
go
seen
to
anything like that
because there's this second set of there's this second process that involves intense heating. The big beer bins, as they call them, beer wells that can be these tanks that are 20 feet wide and have this sort of curdled top of, it's not beer like you buy, it's not like a Miller Lite, like it doesn't quite taste like that. It tastes much weirder, sort of almost milky curdled, but they'll let you just stick your hand in it. And then they're going to make something and serve it to a million people. But because it's totally safe because there's a further heating process, and then you can just go in and stick your hands in these things, like taste the sort of the raw materials of this stuff. It's so much fun. But also, if you think about Jersey Lightning, the thing that I was just telling you, these unaged spirits are the step before you get to a brown liquor, right? And so bourbon starts clear when they make it.
How does
rye
it turn
whiskey
brown?
Starts, and the way it turns brown is they put it in a barrel and they let it sit for 2 years or 4 years or 8 years or 12 years or however many years. And sometimes there will be an age statement on the bottle that tells you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there won't. And there are various reasons for this. But it is that time in the barrel. For bourbon, it has to be in new, freshly charred oak barrels.
Yes.
Don't go anywhere. More Kennedy Saves the World right after this.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And what I also learned was in places like Scotland and Japan, they love U.S. single-use bourbon barrels.
So after you use them once, of course, there's not as much. Let me see if I can explain this. What happens when you put bourbon in a fresh wooden barrel is that it is taking some of that wood sugar, though, again, it's not adding sugar in the sense of like dumping Domino sugar into it. It's just taking some of the flavor from the wood.
So it's like my daughter going to a lecture. She's not going to go home and study.
Yeah.
She's not adding anything after the lecture, but she might sit there and something might seep through during the lecture.
So if you take it if you use it a second time, then it's already going to have a lot of the stuff from the wood will already have been pulled out. And that's why Scotch, you typically want to have much higher age on Scotch, and Scotch can be productively aged well over 20 years, whereas bourbon is typically like the very best bourbons. People will say somewhere in the 10 to 15 year range. Yes, there are 20, even 25 year aged bourbons, but sort of the ideal standard for bourbon, for very good bourbon, is something like 12 years or so. And then they take those barrels and they ship them over to Scotland, and Scotland is like, no, we're going to use this same barrel that you've already used once, but now we're just going to, it's going to be softer and gentler, right? Because it doesn't have any of those sort of the harshness that you get from first use barrels. But you can use apple brandy in just about any cocktail
You can
right?
make
it's
the
so
one
easy.
For one transfer. So what would this be?
So this is not apple brandy, though you could make it with apple brandy.
Okay.
This is a fun fall flavored drink that's really easy. It just requires a couple of slightly unusual ingredients that you might not have heard of before. So this drink is, I'm a libertarian, and I do think about paperwork. I do think about bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. It is based on somebody else's drink, and his drink was a drink that he made after work when he was just filling out the forms at the end of the day, and he called his drink just the paperwork. But this one is a little bit different. So I call it Papers, Please, which is what they say to you when you go through,
customs.
You go through customs. Mm-hmm. And so this drink is French brandy. It's cognac. And you want to use something pretty good. It doesn't have to be too old, but something with a real intense flavor. I like a Pierre Ferrand 1840, which is based, it's such a fun bottle. It's very fruity. And it's based on, they found a historical bottle of brandy from 1840. And then we're like, how can we mass produce this?
Okay.
And sort of make it regularly available. And it's so good. It doesn't have those sort of like vanilla caramel notes that you might associate with cognac. Instead, mm-hmm. it's just like open and fruity, almost like ripe bananas.
Oh.
And just this kind of...
I love bananas.
This drinks. Right, but also some of these kind of, like, think of a fall harvest. It has the flavor of a fall harvest.
Mm.
And then there's a sweet vermouth in this. I'm using Cocchi di Torino sweet mm-hmm. vermouth. Cocchi di Torino sweet vermouth has a bunch of berry notes. Again, we're looking for fall harvest flavors. And then the final thing in this is an Italian bitter liqueur. And I say that and people are like, I don't like Campari, man. I don't like it. Okay, you don't have to like Campari, but this is not like Campari. This is gentler. It's also a little more fruity, also mm-hmm. a little lighter. It doesn't have nearly the sort of bitter kick that Campari has.
I mean, this all sounds like a wonderful companion to Thanksgiving.
It really is, and it's so easy to make. One of the best things about it is designed to be consumed at room temperature.
Okay.
So there's no stirring, no shaking. All you do is you take these three ingredients and you combine them. It's 1.5 ounces of Amaro Nonino, 1 ounce of the vermouth, the Cocchi di Torino, and then 1 ounce of cognac, preferably Pierre Ferrand 1840.
And what was the Amaro?
Amaro Nonino.
Okay, what is that?
Amaro Nonino is it is an Italian bitter liqueur. And if you've ever had a drink called a paper plane, this is a somewhat popular drink that actually comes from New York from one of the famous bars here, but now you can get it all over the country at good cocktail bars. If you've ever had a drink called the paper plane, it's a 4-part bourbon-based drink that also has Amaro Nonino and lemon juice and Luxardo Maraschino liqueur. It's sort of like a last word with
really
bourbon.
Good.
Again, this is, I know this is a lot and this is a little bit complex, but what I want to try and tell you is, you can make really drinks that taste really complex,
mm-hmm.
that taste really interesting, like the drinks that you might get at a cocktail bar where there's hundreds of bottles behind the guy and you have no idea what any of it is. You can make that stuff at home just by carefully selecting stuff and doing a little bit of measuring and a little bit of preparation. And that's what this drink is, because this, like I said, this one doesn't require any shaking, mm-hmm. doesn't even require any stirring. All you do is you dilute it just a little bit. You combine those ingredients with with 1/2 ounce of water per drink.
Oh.
And so that just sort of brings it all together,
mm-hmm.
takes it down a notch just a little bit. Part of what water does, people are like, oh, I don't want water in my cocktail. It's watered down. In a cocktail, you do, because water sort of works like mortar between bricks.
Mm.
It helps it all stay together, helps it hold its character, helps everything kind of integrate together. And so in this drink, you just add just a little bit of water to it.
Well, let's give it a whirl. I mean, obviously, it's not this, but this looks like...
This is kind of the same idea, but, you know, not the same thing here.
Of course, it's not the same thing. We wouldn't do that, Peter. And is this an appropriate glass? I have limited barware.
This is a very appropriate glass, but I will also say, as much as I care a lot about glassware,
mm-hmm.
and of course presentation makes a difference,
mm-hmm.
you know, having it look nice is important. Pour it in whatever glass you have. A cocktail in a suboptimal, in whatever glass you have that doesn't look exactly right, the glass doesn't actually really change the flavor. It changes a little bit about the way you smell it, basically,
mm-hmm.
a little bit about the approach. But it's not going to change the flavor very much. As long as it is actual glass, the one thing I will say is don't put it in your coffee cup and don't put it in your plastic beach mug, please.
Okay.
Just put it in
no
a glass, any glass.
Cheers to being
Cheers.
Thankful for great cocktails and family and good friends. Wait, no, I got to smell it first. Oh, that smells nice. Amen to that. Oh my gosh, that is so good.
Right, it's kind of delicate, and it's got a little, even though there's no apple brandy in this, you can almost taste that sort of fall harvest flavor from it.
Oh my goodness, that is the best Thanksgiving drink I've ever had.
And it's
I knew
so
you were good,
easy.
I didn't know you were this good.
And I like this one for many reasons. So we're taping this in New York. Mm-hmm. I live in Washington, D.C. I have a whole home bar in mm-hmm. Washington, D.C., but this is a lot of stuff. It's really hard to carry.
Sure.
So what's great about this drink is you can batch it
mm-hmm.
and just scale it, right? So you take the recipe and you make 4 of them, 8 of them, 12 of them, put them all together into a single bottle. And then because it doesn't require shaking or stirring or any kind of chill, and it's designed to be consumed at room temperature,
yeah.
you can take this to your friend's house, to your family's house, right? It's so easy to make up in advance and just have ready. Or even if you want to make it at your own house and just not have to be making cocktails for everybody while you're having Thanksgiving dinner, This just makes the process very, very easy.
I love everything about it. Cheers to you, Suderman.
Cheers, Kennedy.
This has been Kennedy Saves the World, along with Peter Suderman. I'm Kennedy.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Oh, go ahead and leave me a review while you're there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You've been listening to Kennedy Saves the World on the Fox News Podcast Network.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.